having that energy of telling kids that they're bad feels bad to me in my body. I don't feel good now that I did that.
Yep.
And I'm also not getting the thing that I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof.
Mm-hmm. Well, and gosh, Allison, as I hear you say that, I'm like, don't we also do that in our adult relationships?
Oh my God.
I mean, this is the conversation that we're having, right? It's like, you're bad. You're avoidant. What is wrong with you? Yes. You need to fix it. Go do whatever you need to do. And I'm over here going like, no, it's making it worse. You're making it worse. You know, like it's the same thing, but this is what we grow up with. And this is how we're learning to be with each other.
Welcome to Latchkey Urchins and Friends, the podcast that is healing trauma with humor.
Latchkey kids was a term invented in the 1970s about kids left home alone at young ages to fend for themselves.
The downstream impact of a whole generation of unparented kids is a society in which we struggle to care about each other.
I'm one of your hosts, Anne Sherry, a therapist. I'm an urchin because emotional and physical self-care are just not instinctual.
I'm your other host, Allison Sibula, a trauma science educator. I'm an urchin because I have a prickly exterior that keeps people at a distance.
Join us as we muddle through the healing journey in search of connection, compassion, and acceptance, interviewing experts and people with lived experience each episode.
Hey, Anne.
Hey, bonjour, Allison.
Bonjour,
Allison. Bonjour. Bonjour. Comment ça va? Comment allez-vous? No, am I speaking French or I'm not speaking French or Spanish. Is that French? Comment allez-vous?
You're doing great. French. Ça va bien.
Okay. Okay. A bientôt. Just random phrases I remember from fourth grade. Okay.
Did you take French in fourth grade?
I fucking did. If I'd have stuck with it.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy? I mean,
you sound great.
In Spartanburg, South Carolina.
That's crazy.
Pine Street Elementary School, French in fourth grade, fourth through sixth grade.
No, it kind of doesn't make sense.
I know.
I don't understand.
And then I took Latin in seventh and eighth grade. Yeah.
No,
you can
I can't
get that
make
in
it
today's.
Make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's private school education. Basically, I was educated in a private school.
God bless.
That's what the 70s were. Okay.
All right. But God, yes, Brando. I'm joining from Paris. Hi, everyone.
I'm still here in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm not leaving Buncombe County. My traveling days are over.
I'm going to join you, though. I am going to join you.
Okay. Yes, because your farmer's here. Yeah. Okay. Go take your train travels.
I'll date
You'll
around
see.
Europe and then come
we're gonna
back
make
to Asheville
a movie.
And meet a farmer.
Yeah, we're going to make a movie of it.
Okay.
No, it's all the rom. It's not even a rom-com. What
it's
are
a
those
Hallmark
you...
special. Yeah.
Hallmark special. Okay. Not the PCP one where the kids jumped off buildings, right? Do you remember that one?
No.
Don't do PCP. Angel Dust.
Do not
Angel
do
Dust.
PCP,
yeah.
Angel Dust,
yeah.
Folks. If
yeah.
there's one
You'll jump out
takeaway.
Of a window. Yeah. From the 80s, just say no. Was that 70s or 80s? Okay.
90s.
This is nothing
I feel like
about
it was
the
90s.
Episode that's coming up. Yeah. This is nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Or is... Okay.
So.
Right. Stay on
on topic. We could do this.
We can.
We loved talking with Elizabeth Gillette so freaking much that we just didn't want to stop. I still actually feel like I don't want to stop. Like, I basically told her when we talked last time, I was like, we're friends now. Like, whether you want to or not, when I move back
to
Asheville.
She might just be like, buy my course. That would be an appropriate attachment.
No, I want
Everybody
her to be
wants
my friend.
To be my friend. I know, because she's so attachy. Yes. She knows her stuff. She's, it's amazing.
I'll learn
what
how
was
to attach.
This, we talked about repair. Parenting.
Yeah.
I mean, she had told us we were tip of the iceberg and we're like, come back. Let's see what's underneath.
I feel like we could talk for like 17 more hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of everything. Mm-hmm. Like being safe in the world, attached. That's sort of been a theme this season. There's been a lot about attachment. And remember starting with Heidi, like how do we make if your nervous system isn't safe.
Yes.
If you don't feel safe in your nervous system or your body or your energy or whatever, you do all kinds of stuff to mitigate that. And it it's admirable, but it's often not a great experience.
Well, in my job grief support group, which the new my new cohort, the fourth cohort just started today, and I love everyone in the group so much. If any of you are listening, I love you guys. I have a session where I do like a knighting session, and everyone gets knighted as worthy. Like I deem you all worthy.
Wow. That's so good. So almost, I would say 99.9% of my counseling practice where we just dig and keep down, down, down. It's like, it's a worth issue.
It's a worth issue every time.
Yeah. Cause that's connected to shame. There's no substitute for feeling your way through though. Like if it's entrenched in there that you don't have worth. So, and it's so shameful to even look at it. Yeah. And that,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Elizabeth's episode around repair, like how hard it can be. Because
well,
like,
you just reminded
ooh.
Me.
Yeah.
After we yeah. interviewed her, I like had a mini, I did have a mini melt. A mini melt.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to text Amelia and just be like, wow, like I am feeling so much grief. Around, like when you heal and you learn better and you talk to amazing yeah. people like Elizabeth or maybe you take her course yeah. or whatever. And yeah. you realize how many mistakes you've made in the past. And that really yeah. hurts. And so I had a little yeah. mini meltdown after we talked to her about like just a huge wave of grief came up. Like, I really wish I would have made some better decisions, but I didn't know how.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, was it Michelle Obama that said it, when you know better, or Oprah? When it's famous, when you
oh,
know
yeah.
better,
no,
you do better.
It's,
yeah. And I would say when you feel better, you when you feel it,
it's
know
Maya
it,
Angelou,
you
isn't
do
it?
Better. Maya Angelou. Okay.
Isn't it?
Some amazing person. Yes.
Oh, wait, I want to look
But I mean,
up.
If we get stuck, I talked to Maya, this is part Maya of a Angelou. Repair piece too. Just studying with a mentor of mine. And I just really have helped hold clients to this, because when you are in the weeds of, well, you did this and you said this, and like if you're autopsying the whole thing over and over and over again, you're totally lost. You're not in the present moment. Can we right. heal now? I mean, I'm
That's
not saying
what
don't
my therapist
mention stuff,
has
but
been
I mean, we may
with.
Need to do a pass over that. But at some point we say, well, where? Okay, let's just own it and accept it.
And move she got
all,
the
all on. Fucked up. Yeah. And move the fuck on. Right. Or be yeah. here in the present. Own it. How do we want to move forward now? Right.
That was a huge, yeah. huge epiphany that I was working on with my last therapist that I've talked about how I finally feel sane. The thing was, mm-hmm. like, I was so avoidant and cut off from feeling
yeah.
that with my first really good therapist that I had in Austin, Texas in 2016, she really helped me open all that up and feel.
Yeah.
But then I was like dwelling too much because I was worried about that I would like go back to the way I was.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the anxiety, the worry. I have fear that I could yeah. hurt again or something yeah. rather than trusting. Yeah. But it takes a while to develop these things. I mean, I had a little
39 years. Enough, well,
yeah. Yeah. 56. So something with, I think Tom would mind me sharing this. It's really not about him as much, but it was, he's really coming to terms with, and lots of people are, just sensory stuff or how overwhelmed, and no doubt it's because there was a lot of overwhelm in childhood and they just, you know, in the healing process is like, you know, it's coming out. I don't know. We get older, our protectors are like, dude. I'm out. You're just going to have to feel this shit. So I don't know. You know, we live small and we're moving into our bigger place. But that has done a
are?
Number on our nervous system.
I'm
yes,
coming to visit
in
now.
A month and a half, we will have a guest room for people.
I'm coming.
Okay. Yes. Come get your farmer. August was losing his shit, and then Tom lost his shit, you know, like just, I can't just take it, you know, just a total overwhelm.
Yep.
And I'd been up since 5:15 meditating and shit, so I was calm as fuck for a while. I know. Yep, totally. And then I wasn't. But I didn't like really go out of the window of tolerance. But what I came to later after doing Heidi's Safe and Sound Protocol group, I came to an awareness just before I went into our last session there I was like, oh, August got all the connection attention and Tom was pushed out, but it really was his little kid energy that got overwhelmed. And I was like, you need to leave. You need to get out. It's too much in here. And then I had all this sadness come up because I was like, oh, wait a minute. How I want to do, and this sort of came from Elizabeth too, is like this repair piece of like, I really wish I would have moved towards you and said, my goodness, you must be so overwhelmed because no way in the world would you want to like do that, you know, like yell. And then August has so much security that he's like, okay, I'm good. You know, there's something there. But I was like,
God bless.
That piece of going towards your partner when a big something happens and I had enough internal connection in that moment or whatever it was mm-hmm. to not, but I was like, get out, you know.
But that may have been
how
perfect.
Often do we hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And then, but it's like it feels like closing the loop. Like, just come back. Don't leave these things open.
Oh,
and it
sure,
was a
sure.
Feeling
that's the repair part
I had. Yes.
But you brought him back in. Like, you brought him back
I
in
did.
After. See? You did it.
I did. After. I did. Yes.
That's
but
all
I was
we can
really
do.
Pleased with this quality of closing the loop on that, you know, and being having that awareness so it's not sort of left out there. Like, when you get overwhelmed, get the fuck away from us is sort of the message that a part might be getting. But yes, and he does need to work on, we need to like look, you know, he mm-hmm. is working on overwhelm and what
yeah.
contributes to it. Like August, we got him headphones for Christmas, sensory headphones. And August was like, Dad, put your headphones on. So it's, and he's
I
like,
want sensory
I
headphones. Yeah.
Everybody gets sensory headphones. I think you need them in the modern world. They're
yeah,
really great.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is.
Well,
it's
thanks
nice.
For that example, Anne, because
okay.
that's exactly, you may not do it perfect in the moment, but as long as you can repair and, but closing the loop so that it's not just fight
yes.
upon fight upon fight upon fight.
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
Applauding.
IFS.
I'm applauding you.
Thank you. I'm applauding me too. They say do a U-turn, which is come yeah. back into your own system, get in, back in alignment before you return. I don't know why everything has to rhyme in these little things, but they do.
U-turn, it helps you remember
and then
it.
It does. I don't think I'd remember it if it was like come back into your own experience and then check in with the person that may have been harmed. That's not as catchy.
No, it's U-turn no, there's no return. It's already out of my brain. Yeah. U-turn, return.
What?
Okay.
Are you fucking kidding me? Not doing it. Yeah. Okay.
So enjoy.
Go eat some croissant.
I will. I had a croissant.
Some cafe. Cafe au lait.
I hope you all love our conversation, part two with Elizabeth, as much as we did.
But you know damn well, and I know that I just can't keep telling you what to think now.
Allison, Elizabeth, Hi. We're back. We're doing a part two. This is our first part two.
Woo!
Right? We should do more part twos because how many times do we say,
yeah.
oh my God, I could talk forever. I could just stay on this podcast forever. Every time, pretty much every time. So we might
every
be
time.
Doing some part twos.
Every
part one,
time.
Part two. Thing one, thing two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes. I'm so honored. Thank
so
you.
So we're back with Elizabeth. Yes.
Yay. Welcome back, Elizabeth.
Apparently, we just got to tip of the iceberg last talk, even though Allison and I were like, okay, that's mm-hmm. it. And we're avoidant attachment. So we're like, okay. We're like full. Got to go. Got to run. Enough feelings.
That was enough feelings. That was enough feelings talk for
and
us.
I was like, just getting started.
Enough relationships.
Let me attach. Where did they go? Yeah. So we talked
exactly.
like, and, you know, as we do, we kind of go all over the place, but we are, I think, talking, you had mentioned repair and real things that we mm-hmm. can do to repair with our attachment styles and move towards secure attachment, antidotes to the styles, like there's something in DBT, like mm-hmm. do the opposite. Is that right? It's like a thing, right? Do the opposite. Yeah. Okay. So do the
mm-hmm.
opposite, we'll call
yep.
it attachment
yeah.
style. On the way to secure attachment.
Yep.
And then I asked for some parenting tips, like if you identify with a certain style, what might be some things to look out parenting-wise? Like if you're avoidant, why have children at all? Because all they do is just suck you dry, right? Okay. All right. Got that out of the way.
Exactly.
Why would anybody
do this? Why do anything?
Right.
Yeah, I almost made it out. I had a kid at 44. I was like, you almost made it out. Why? No, it's the best thing. Mm-hmm. So anyways. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yay.
How do you repair this shit?
Awesome. Let's do it. I know. Oh gosh. It's so much. And it's like, what I want to say too, is that when I talk about repair, I'm not talking about like repairing everything that happened to you. I'm talking about repairing in moments, in relationships, and how that is the start of repairing what happened to you. So right. Meta. Because we can't go back and change what happened. I know it is, isn't it? Because we can't go back and change it. And I talk to clients about that all the time. You know, we'll do what we call corrective experiencing. And that comes from dynamic attachment repatterning, which is Diane Poole Heller's work.
Whoa,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get her email.
I sure will. Like, yes.
Sign up for Diane. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yep. So corrective experiences are essentially looking at a memory and going back and we alter it together, right? So we're sitting here in the present moment. You do this with a person who you trust, like a therapist, and you bring up a memory of something that was difficult. And in the moment, in the session, you are altering the experience, right? So if you, for example, you know, for this topic we're talking about, if you experienced a lot of emotional neglect as a child, a corrective experience may be going back to a memory where you felt really alone and bringing in like sounds in the kitchen and voices and like people talking and a family member coming in and poking their head in and saying, hey, bud,
okay,
how are you doing?
Right there.
Like,
you can
everything
just
good in
stop
here? Do you
right
want to come
there.
Join us?
Like, that's enough for my system.
That's right.
I'm going to cry. I'm actually going to cry.
Know.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Like a specific kitchen like popped up in my brain from my childhood. I was like, nope, not today.
Part two was a mistake, right? And of course, you know, I've been sitting here for the past however long just thinking of all the things I wanted
my
to
God,
say.
Thank God.
The kitchen memories, like when you think about a kitchen, and I know I'm jumping way ahead, but even thinking about if you are a person who has children in your life, right? Like what sort of memories are you wanting to create with them that they are going to think about and will be like a resource for them, like an internal resource for them?
Yes.
Right.
That. Remember Heidi? We interviewed Heidi Anderson.
I love Heidi.
I know. Safe and Sound Protocol. And she was all about this, like creating resource and safety. So, yes. It's all like puzzle pieces coming together.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay, everybody. Hang in there.
We're all
going to be okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like that. So that's kind of what I mean. When I talk about repair, it's also about how you manage conflict and what we would call rupture in your relationship. So rupture is a very normal thing to have happen where you come into a moment of disagreement or you show up in a way that doesn't feel good to you or someone else shows up in a way that doesn't feel good to you. And in healthy attachment, we circle back and we fix it. And I don't mean fix it in a way of like, you're like, I'll do anything to fix this and I'll be exactly who you want me to be so that you're not mad at me anymore.
Yes.
Right. Which is like that's my thing.
Right.
Or like, I'm going to just
leave.
Yes, exactly. Like throw this away. This relationship is over. Goodbye.
You should see how much Allison and I are moving. We are squirming as Elizabeth.
I see your faces.
So funny. Okay.
But we also are caffeinated today. So.
We are caffeinated. Thank you for, whatever.
Mm-hmm. We're bad. Mind. We're not that bad. Okay.
Okay.
But okay, even just, I would encourage you, if you are a person who's squirming right now, to just notice what's going on.
Yes. Can we do a real time? Yeah.
Just notice what's happening for you in your body and notice if there's anything around you that feels safe, right? Mm. So like we're having this conversation, but at any moment you can hit pause at any moment you can throw your phone across the room if you need to.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like at yeah. any moment you can take some space. There is no pressure, no rush. You can look away if you happen to be watching a clip of this. You know, like you can take the space that you need.
Ooh. I have a soft mm-hmm. blanket right here that's mm-hmm. absorbing the sound in my yep. podcast mm-hmm. studio yes. corner mm-hmm. office. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
So, you know, I think yeah. there are opportunities for us to recognize that we don't have to do things on a certain timeline or schedule.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some people might be listening to this at like faster, you know, how you yes. can like speed it up. They're like, give it to me. Right. It's coming. Yes. It's coming. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I yeah. have people or have seen people that just grew up in just super fast, like go, go, go pressured childhood. So maybe we talk about mm-hmm. that with parenting or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll bring that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At topic three. Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. maybe we want to come back to repair. I don't know that that's like intuitive. You know, I know like John Gottman lab work has become more prevalent, widely read, but I find that most people still that I know and talk to aren't familiar, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, okay. And even, I'm even thinking, we just had a big family reunion, which was super fun. And I got to see my aunt, who's a cardiologist. And she and I talked at length about how there's just like a lack of conflict resolution skills right now in the workplace. And it's leading mm-hmm. to really dangerous situations, especially in healthcare, because instead of having hard conversations, they're just like writing people up, reprimanding them, changing rules. And in the healthcare setting, that means like people are dying. Because of this kind of authoritarian style, right? And so it's like, yeah, it's our interpersonal relationships, but it's also our workplaces. And yeah. so mm-hmm. Three esteemed colleagues and I founded a new company this year to help with internal work and trauma within internal work environments. And we just realized like people do not have conflict resolution skills or repair skills, right? Same kind of deal. And so maybe you could go into what does that mean? What does that look like? Why is it important for people who don't really understand what that process is?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, that's exactly right. It's so scary to think about the impact that those conflicts can be having on real lives, right?
Mm-hmm. and there's burnout too, like in workplaces.
Oh my gosh,
I hear it a lot. I have a lot of healthcare people. Yeah. Then they're just like, mm-hmm. I'm just done. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Right. Mm-hmm. And the resentment that breeds as a result of not addressing conflict, right? Not mm-hmm. addressing rupture, mm-hmm. I think is a huge piece of this. And when I think of that in any relationship across the board, right? That resentment that's just forming underneath the surface all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That means the next time you have conflict, you're approaching it with a lot more anger, mm-hmm. right? You're approaching it with a lot more frustration, a lot less tolerance.
Yeah.
And also a lot less trust, right? And when mm-hmm. I think about repair in relationships, I think about building trust and really, and this is a Gottman thing, but like depositing into your relational bank account with that person, yeah. right? So this idea that like, I'm coming to you and I'm addressing this issue, even though it's uncomfortable, because I care so much about you and because you're important to me, right? So there's like check mm-hmm. number one, like mm-hmm. you matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I want to solve this with you. And this is particularly hard, I think, for people who are more on the avoidant end of the spectrum yeah. and a little bit more dismissive, is that
yeah.
you have to acknowledge that you care about a person.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Elizabeth, mm-hmm. go back. Everybody, remember where we started, Alice and I. Why can't we care? Like, why can't people? And we projected that onto everybody. Like, no one cares. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just us avoidance. Like, we just don't care, you know? And we made it everybody's problem.
It's the systems. Yeah. No, it's like we have a whole avoidant country, really,
yes,
to be honest.
We do.
It's, And it is. And it's becoming more avoidant. I'm so glad that you said that, Allison. Yeah. It's becoming more avoidant. Yeah. And we're so focused on independence. And we're so, I mean, even when you think about from a parenting perspective, it's like, well, when is your baby going to sleep through the night? When is your baby going to walk? When is your baby going to go to school? When is like, I mean, it's always like, when are they going to be on their own? And we're very focused on that as a culture.
That's a success. You've achieved these wonderful, successful milestones.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So everybody is out there just like auto-regulating, doing everything by themselves instead of trying to do that in relationship. And and I think there's also this whole protective mechanism around that, right? If I don't show that I care, then I can't get hurt. If you don't know that I care, then you're not going to hurt me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's a big jing.
Insight.
I think we talked about that a little when we talked last in part one, because I was talking about my dating project that's, you know, and that will have started by the time this airs, but that it's really can be very tough to put yourself out there and to say that you even have feelings that could be hurt.
It's like trying to be in these emotionally mature communities and having tough conversations. I do worry how much shame is reinforced, you know, like you're a terrible person because you don't care or you didn't say something right or I don't know, just blowing everybody's just leaving or whatever. And then that's terrible. And anyways, so it's this quality of really, I think for avoidance, probably for anxious, probably for any insecure, there's so much shame. So I'm curious about that maybe in repair. How do you sit with shame or acknowledge that this is shame or because shame is I'm bad. I'm a terrible person. I must go.
That's right. And I think I think you're exactly right. I think all of the insecure styles, whether you're anxious, avoidant, or disorganized, we all grapple with shame in different ways, right? And we all respond to shame differently. And I think that when we're able to recognize that, like, we all experience it. And just because you make a mistake in a relationship or you don't show up perfectly or you don't show up, you know, like, that's not – it's not about you as a human, right? People can have, and we kind of talked about codependence last time, but it's this idea that like, just because someone else has an emotional response to something you did or didn't do, it doesn't mean that it's a reflection of you. As we're having these conversations, so much of it is about our own stuff, right? And our own projections onto people. And I think it's so much easier said than done, right? This is not one of those things of like, oh, I can go home and practice this. Like, it's, I think, a thing that we learn in the context of relationships.
Well, there's a catch 22 for you.
I know it. And I think we're jumping ahead. We talked a little bit about like the antidote idea, but one of the things I think is really helpful for every style, and all of us can practice this, is learning how to be more welcoming. I think it's especially helpful.
That felt I love that phrase, like being welcoming.
I think it's especially helpful for the avoidant style.
What does that mean?
Well, when I think about if I wanted to go and have a conversation with somebody where I was going to be uncomfortable, if I went to approach them and they were sitting there and their arms were crossed and they looked angry. And they felt, their energy felt cold to me. I'm even like, I can feel it in my back. Like as I say it, I'm like, it's like my protective shell wants to come on. And I'm like, ooh, that is the last thing I want to do is have a conversation with you about this hard thing. If I think about somebody who feels more open, who's looking at me with kind eyes, who is... like I can just feel in their body, in their presence, like if they take a big deep breath and I'm like, oh, I just felt them take a big deep breath. Right. It's just, you feel so much more ready to do that. Somebody who's going to be like, tell me more, who's going to practice curiosity. you know, who's going to maybe ask questions rather than jumping to conclusions. Like, I think those are all different ways that we can be welcoming of a topic or a person, and really engage in doing it, doing relationships differently.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of my mom doing it well. It's, I'm like tearing up remembering. My mom did this really well once. We had all gone on a trip and she was hurt that I was pushing. I was like kind of dealing with my own trauma stuff and I was kind of pushing people away. And she really wanted to talk about it and process it. And I really was being avoidant. And she said, I am strong enough to hear whatever you need to tell me.
Ooh.
Wow.
Go, Mom.
I know. Yes. She's the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That, see, that
that's
in
a
and
mom
of itself
who's
is
doing her work.
Yes. Yep. It's so powerful.
Yes, it is.
Right? Because then it's like when I think about it, and I'm not here to you know, name your experience, but it's like you're met in that, right? So all these hard feelings, big feelings you're having that are coming up in you where like nobody could understand this. Nobody, and here she is saying, I'm here with you.
Boy,
I've
what a
got
container
you.
Setter,
ooh,
you know,
yes.
Like tending to that safety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You may not. Oh.
I'm just having a moment.
I was like, nope, on to the next thing. Good, Allison. Way to go. Check box. Let me welcome. Yes. I guess because I'm like, my mom stuff comes up, or my generation, who we are, our parents are aging and a lot of shit didn't get done. And we're also being asked to care, be more caring, be a good, you know, like society's like, you know, mom's blah, blah, blah. Oh, bless your heart. Are you going to visit her? Like, no, I'm not going to visit her. Like, it's boring or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I'm a sociopath. So anything for how to like, for our listeners, I mean, I do all kinds of work to like, whatever, deep stuff, but just how to be with that. We're going to do a whole show or podcast on Gen X and their aging parents, because I see it everywhere. We're going nuts. We are losing our shit on, you didn't care for me is what we're saying. Go fuck yourself needing care right now. And it's really, there's a lot of energy. So just curious if you have maybe a tidbit, how we might think of that. Yep.
Well, I mean, I think that's a big topic, first of all. But I do think.
Yes. Stay tuned.
I do think, that there's a lot in there about what can I do and how might I be able to extend that welcoming or that kindness? And then how do I hold the other boundaries? Right. So rather than overextending and moving into a place where, again, you're creating that resentment, you're able to stay in yourself and say, here is what I can do. I can call you every other Saturday or whatever and check in with you. Right. Which is like, I mean, again, like you, whatever feels good to you.
Yeah.
And that's what I can do. Right. Coming to visit you doesn't feel like an option for me right now. I can totally understand how you would want that, and I'm just not capable of it, right? So it's kind of like, here's what I can do, and here's what I'm not able
to
do.
That was really good.
That
was kind. Yeah. There's something I heard in meditation with my man, David G, something about the three gates of communication. Is it true?
On the app?
On the app, on Insight Timer. Everybody,
Insight
do
Timer.
40 days of transformation. It is so, him and the Buddha princess, little dog he has. Anyways, is it true? He says the three gates of communication, and this is probably Buddhist something, but is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? So I've really been like, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Yeah. So, And you really got to slow down to like, how can I work
You have
this?
To slow down.
You
and when your lid
down.
Is flipped, when you're in moments of high emotional intensity, slowing down to ask those three questions is a whole ass skill.
Yes, it is. That is a great way to put it. And that was it too.
WAS, a whole ass skill. Yeah. I was. I wasn't. Yeah. Yeah.
And with repair, you don't have to do it like the minute that you feel something is happening.
Yeah.
Right. Please give yourself permission to say, this is feeling like a lot for me, or I need some space from this before we check in about it. I'd like to circle back. And if you can even say a time where you'd like to come back to it tomorrow, in an hour, in a month, I don't know. Sometimes we need a month. Sometimes you do. Right.
It's so cool that you say that. And then I'm like, oh my God, I would just be planning my escape. My old self, I'm much better, but like just planning my escape, you know, like,
yeah.
So anyways, but I do like and that, giving yourself space.
I feel like Anne, you and I both do this a little bit, and maybe our avoidant thing.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, you tell me if you do this too, but like you're already thinking about the next thing you need to go do instead of being right here and the thing that we're already doing. It's such a weird trap that I think keeps us from being relational.
Mm-hmm. Well, you start feeling shit, Allison, if you're present and relational. Fuck that.
It's true. Well, and even just thinking, and even thinking on the other side of the spectrum, right? For someone who is anxious, it's like they're feeling so much that it's also hard for them to be relational.
Okay.
Because it's like they're drowning in the feelings.
Right.
Right. They're drowning in what is going on. And it feels so important to stop drowning, because it is, right? It is important to stop drowning.
Yeah, you die.
That it's like, right. It's just like, I absolutely cannot tolerate this amount of emotion in my body and in my sort of like relational field. And so I am like, right. I mean, it's like, no, I cannot wait 10 minutes. I need to solve this now.
Okay.
And if you don't want to solve this with me now, then it tells me you don't care about me. Right. Which makes it even worse. So it's like, so I just want to share that too.
Yeah.
Because I imagine a lot of the people who might be listening who are avoidant might be in relationship with people who are anxious. And so I just,
but I do want to say,
what do you do? Yeah.
If you are anxious like that and you have a partner that's avoidant and you're like, oh, we don't need to solve this now, but you, and this is relevant to repair, you do need to actually though, you do have to solve it at some point. And so if like weeks and weeks go by and it doesn't get repaired, just like you said, that's bad. Like you do actually have to do it at some point, because then, not speaking from personal experience or recent personal experience or anything like that, but
never happened.
Then it's like you don't even have a relationship. Like that's literally not a relationship. I don't know what that is. It's just out avoiding each other or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what Tom and I got that feedback from a couples therapist. We're both avoidant. She's like, nobody's in this relationship. I was like, oh, it seems to be working just fine. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you want to, like, you know, we do a lot of things, projects, a lot of shit's getting done. Yeah.
Yes. So, and in my, I have to say, and I don't mean for this to be a plug necessarily, but in my book, I have a whole section on the different attachment styles in relationship with each other. And I think that part is important, because it's like, you know, you can kind of get the basic, like, here are these attachment styles kind of anywhere. But I feel like that piece of like, these are the common things that we see in these relational interactions. And these are different things you can do in your relationship to create more security and really invest in that foundation of security in your partnership.
Yeah.
If you have differing attachment styles. So.
So you're saying we actually have to work on this, and it takes time.
Oh gosh, I know.
Jesus.
Yes.
Parents.
I know.
Okay. Get it, make, do secure attachment with your children so they don't, like,
you know, and it's later. Like, I also, okay, so here's a statistic. I don't think we talked about this last time.
Okay.
And it's hard. It's a hard one, because it's relieving on one hand, and then you get to thinking about it and it feels probably upsetting. But in order to have secure attachment, only 30% of your interactions with a person need to be like attuned, and like where you're like with them, right? Only 30% and you can get secure.
Winning. Yes.
Right. And then when you think about that and you're like, oh my gosh, that must mean that I had less than 30%, which is hard to be with, I think.
Yeah.
But also, like, let's look at it from a celebratory.
You couldn't even do fucking 30%. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I see
and how that happens. We need one person. Yeah. One person who we have that with can help us create that blueprint. So, yes, it comes from parents, but it also comes from aunties and uncles and besties and, like, your friends' parents and it can come from so many different places.
Yeah, that's awesome in therapy to be able to build on that. Like, there are resources. Yeah. I mean, I can even remember in the worst of the worst early days of counseling or my own counseling many years ago, just fully in the like, no, I was not loved. And my therapist was like, I am sure there was a nurse that looked at you lovingly at some point. And I was like, that was enough. I know that's just, there's a part of me that's like, oh, that's pathetic. But it was enough at that time. Yeah. And I was in a deep story of like no one, you know, the narrative of no one cared. So, so that little light is so important, you know? Yeah. My part heard it and they were like, oh yeah. Okay. Enough. Yeah.
That's so powerful.
It was incredible.
We can be that for for kids and other people. I mean, it doesn't have to be just kids. I know we're going to talk about parenting, but it can be anybody you're in relationship with, right? Like, can you see that person and take a moment and appreciate them?
Yes.
Right.
Micro connections.
Yeah.
Remember
micro
that
connections.
Some time ago we were talking about, I don't know, but like
I love that.
Paying attention to
Oh, we did talk about that.
Let's see. God, a whole show on repair. Any other? Just get the book.
Well, you wanted to hear about parenting.
We do want to hear about parenting. But any more on antidotes to the styles? Welcoming?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. So I think so. That one I think is great across across the styles. I think it's especially great for when you're in relationship with someone who's more avoidant to learn how to become more welcoming. I think folks who are more anxious really benefit from your presence, right? Like your attention, your focus, because oftentimes when they were young, they were maybe in relationship with a caregiver who was distracted or busy or wasn't consistent with them. So having that really attuned and focused presence is really important and helpful. And the disorganized style, safety is it. So however you can provide
go
a sense
of
safety.
Go back and listen to Heidi's episode on Safe and Sound Protocol. Get some of that.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yeah. That is going to
benefit. What is safety?
Benefit.
Like, is there something like how would you do that? Like what are safety?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great question. I think even like asking someone like, how are you feeling right now? Like, is where we're sitting, does that feel comfortable to you? Like, are you good in this? Okay. Like, would it feel better if we moved? Or, you know, is there anything I can do to help you feel
How come
a
everything
bit
you
safer?
Say makes me want to start crying?
I know. It's like, it's the feels. I'm just like, energy's just all running up and down, like out the heart, down into the legs and grounding. And
I feel like this is it though. Yeah. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It feels like this stuff that we're talking about, which is why I do the work I do. Like, this is it. This is what it is to be in connection that feels true and real and makes it worth, like makes life worth living.
Totally. Totally.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. My energy worker person who I want to study with and learn everything that she does, she it was so helpful for her to say, we come here to connect. And if that's not happening, it's really confusing to a little system. Really. And just that simple little like reframe on that. I was like, oh, yeah. So internal family system, my therapy style, you know, I was like, no wonder the layers and layers of parts that have to come online to shut down connection or you'll go crazy. I don't know if I can say the word crazy, but you'll go insane. I mean, it feels, and to me, healing, there are edges of insanity to heal. So go slow.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. And especially, I mean, what you're saying is so true for the disorganized style, which is what we're talking about with the safety piece, right? Yeah. It's like that constant push pull, that internal conflict between survival and attachment. Ugh. And like, is it safe to be in relationship? Can I like, is it safe to be in the world? You are going to have to come up against those edges.
Yeah.
And I really support folks who have more of the disorganized style to see a therapist who specializes in this work, who understands attachment, who can support you in that, because it's not work to do on your own. You don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah. You literally.
Well, I don't think it will really work. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to do outside of it, you know, but
yeah, it gets you, it gets you so far.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, any of this work gets you so far if you're reading and doing the things, but so much of the relational work has to happen in relationship.
Hello. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I did want to actually come back and to what you said about that's insanity or that's crazy, because, I got this really clear definition, and I can't remember if I've said it on our pod before, about craziness or insanity or mental illness after we talked to Darsha this season and her book about the evolved nest, and that chapter about how they had a baby elephant that lost its parents, and then the caretaker, the human caretaker for the baby elephant, had to go away that weekend or whatever. And this is really sad content advisory here.
Yes.
What I'm about to say is really sad. And so the baby elephant died. And I know, because it thought that it just didn't have any parents left. And so I had this epiphany about humans, which is that mental illness is a advantage that humans have over other mammals, because we have the storytelling part of the brain. When our caregivers go away and don't nurture us, we create a story, and that story keeps us alive. We would die without that story. But in adulthood, that story is mental illness.
Yeah. Yep. And that is so much of the growth piece, being able to get space at some point in the real, I think the real interactions, so that the narrative can lessen over time. Right. Like, cause it's like, I mean, listen to our podcast. Allison and I have healed real time in here. We're like just
real
so,
time.
I felt personally like, and it's been really helpful to blend a bit with that, like, it was bad. It was, and I do think it needs to be acknowledged how bad it was or really felt, because you talk yourself out of it. I went to practice. Yeah. I was a superstar in high school, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I've come around to having a lot of compassion for my parents, you know, just like I'm able, if you keep going, the story gets bigger, or the truth gets bigger, or you're safer inside, you know, like you attach here in your own system so that you can be. But it's just always, it's this infinity symbol, like do your own work, come back, try to connect, go back in. But keep going. It gets, it does get bigger, because people are like, oh, I can't talk about my parents. They did everything for me. And I'm like, I don't think they reached that 30% mark, okay? I think you're like at 28. You're like right on the line. So just a little edge.
Okay. Like, it's okay. Like, yes, we can say it's all with this caveat that, like, you can love them. You know, right? Like, if they did their best and you feel like they did their best, then that is wonderful. And we can't, I mean, my kids will go to therapy for who knows what. You know what I mean?
I'm just like, fund.
I'm so confident. Fund. Yeah.
So, but my mom always said, I have another good Wanda. she always says the more abusive, the more loyal someone is.
Ooh.
Because the story you had to invent became really massive.
Yeah.
And it's hard to escape a story that big. And so when you're like in session with someone, and you know, I've worked as a one-on-one life coach before, and they cannot even go there, there's something big under there, and they have had to create this giant story, this giant protective story, and that is hard.
Yes. Yep. Yep. That's so I'll hear it from spouses I may be working with, and then their spouse has gone to counseling, and they're like, why do we have to talk about the childhood? Why do we want to go to the childhood? It's like, I just need a fix right now. And that's fine. Yeah. Keep running that experiment. And I try to really say, we're not going to stay there. We're not going to go and live in childhood, but I guarantee you there's some shit back there that we need to gather up and understand and do Elizabeth's book and listen to her courses. Yes. But that you can heal, but that resistance to, I don't want to go to childhood is like, oh, so, and you can't push that. You can't push it. Yeah.
It always is like a little flag to me when I see people gushing about how grateful they are for their parents, like on social media or something. I'm always like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm but like, they were amazing.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Me thinks they not protest too much or the other way.
Yeah.
Attest too much. Me thinks the attest too much. Too much. Yes. Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man.
Though?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We're just not that good. We're just not that good.
I know.
None of us in
well,
it.
And
that's
especially
okay.
It's
we're
like,
all muddling through. We're all like born at certain times, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's got shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's exactly right. And whether it's like over blending and all these enmeshment and all these other, I mean, like. Yes.
Oh, wait, define blending and enmeshment for our listeners. We do talk about it, but not everyone listens to every episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So when I think about that, when I think about enmeshment, I'm really thinking about a lack of emotional boundaries in a family system. So not necessarily, or just sort of like taking for granted that everyone is their own person. So people might be overly involved in each other's lives or business or think that one person's problem or issue is everyone's to solve. And so it's like, you know, I think that there can be a lot of that sort of overstepping of boundaries without recognizing that that is what is happening.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that unwillingness to disappoint or I can't help you with that, you know, or, you know, being able to tolerate someone's mad at me, just being like, okay, I'm still here with you, but you know, this is in alignment with whatever my truth is or And then blending was the other one. Is it enmeshment, blending, same? Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I meant, know, I said blending first, but really I think the term is enmeshment and that just like over identification with each other within a family system.
Yeah. Okay. Parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting styles.
So I think what I would just
attached,
say, what I would just say about that is developing an awareness of how you parent. Mm-hmm. Like you might not really notice if you haven't done any specific work around this is the kind of parent I want to be. So I'm going to learn these particular skills or I'm going to learn how to respond emotionally to my children. I think you're probably taking a lot from your own childhood and not even realizing it. Sometimes, and I've said this to my mom before, sometimes I hear my mother's voice come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I don't even realize that I'm doing it. Like I'm talking to my kids and I'm like, where did that phrase, like that's not a phrase I would use, but it 100% is a phrase that she may have used with us in her parenting. And it boggles my mind. I'm like, that came from the depths of my psyche. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know. So like having an awareness of how you want to parent and being intentional about it in the midst of not sleeping, not having time for yourself,
having a whatever they call them in the Netherlands come live with you basically for a fucking year year or getting you know an entire year off of work to actually parent.
That's exactly
so there's
right.
So many forces that like just again I think reinforce jacked up nervous system. So what else are you going to revert to but childhood patterns that you may or may not have worked on?
The desire for your children to be independent long before their little human brains are capable of it.
Because
you're in survival mode and you need some space. Like it completely makes sense to me.
I've told this story
but
before
I think,
where I told August I was going to call the cops on him if he didn't get in the car.
You told me that before.
Yes, like he was 18 months, maybe 2 years old. A proud one.
I mean, you know, but like,
Dude, I needed to get
to
that appointment.
30%.
Yes, 30%. Yeah, that was definitely 30%. In the 70%. Yes.
I was just thinking today, weirdly, because I didn't know we were going to talk about this. So I started nannying full time when I was 11 years old.
August is 11. I know. Allison. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh my God. That drives it home, actually. I've heard you say this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And then I worked as a nanny until my mid 20s, basically. So I've taken care of a lot of other people's kids. So, even though I'm not a parent myself, I've had lots of parenting experiences. And just today, this thought popped into my head about, how bad it feels in the body to punish kids. And mm-hmm. I almost think that because I started so young, I actually have two very clear memories. One, when I was like 11 or 12, and I was taking care of like a 5-6 year old. And then one when I was 16 and taking care of two kids who were 5 and 6 and saying like, you're on timeout, you're being bad. I remember, and it was just two instances, one on each. Yeah. And I remember one feeling like, where did that come from? Right? Because it's yes. what I experienced.
Right.
But two, noticing that it didn't work. I didn't get whatever it was that I wanted to get. So I actually didn't try it again after that. Like I never ended up trying again, which is kind of interesting because I started so young. I wasn't so set in my ways. Like I had like this really open mind. So I think like if you're like an adult, like if you have kids like in your 30s or whatever, and you're authoritarian, it's like already stuck in there, I think. Whereas at 16, I was like, oh, that's interesting. That didn't work. I'm going to toss that out. And
how about some candy? How about some sugar? Want some sugar?
No, I mean, I wasn't really doing that either. But I just have this memory of trying it, noticing that it didn't work. Like it made the kids more wound up, like more acting out and just being like, wow, like having that energy of telling kids that they're bad feels bad to me in my body. I don't feel good now that I did that.
Yep.
And I'm also not getting the thing that I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof.
Mm-hmm. Well, and gosh, Allison, as I hear you say that, I'm like, don't we also do that in our adult relationships?
Oh my God.
This is the conversation we're having, right? It's like, you're bad. You're avoidant. What is wrong with you? Yes. You need to fix it. Go do whatever you need to do. And I'm over here going like, no, it's making it worse. You're making it worse.
Yes.
You know, like it's the same thing, but this is what we grow up with. And this is how we're learning to be with each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love how you said that. I want people to have an open mind about how we interact with each other and what is truly motivating, right? We know for certain, there's research now that shows that shame is not a good like behavior changer.
No.
So, you know what I mean? So like, what are you going to do instead?
Yeah.
What are you going to do instead? How can you meet each other there? How can you show up with compassion? You know,
this is the thing that I'll often hear, but then they're going to get away with it. So who's talking there? Like if I don't remind them, they'll get away with it. Is that who's that? Is that avoidant? Is that like,
authoritarian.
Yeah. Authoritarian. Yeah. But like our partners, like if they, you know, there's so little trust. Like if I don't keep reminding them. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Well, and I think that's the part of us, right? The part that doesn't trust, the part that is afraid, right? The part that's afraid that they're going to, that we're going to keep getting hurt, that we're not going to set the boundaries that we need to set, right? To be treated the way that we need to be treated.
Yeah.
And I think that there's also this thing in here that's like, you know, we don't get to make decisions to change our partners, right? Or whoever we're in relationship with. That's not our job.
Yeah.
And you can advocate for yourself and you can say the things. And there are people who want to be different and better in their relationships. I just want to name that. Like those people exist.
Yes.
And they can have any attachment style.
Yes.
There are also people who don't want to change. They can have any attachment style.
Yes.
Okay. So like, it's not, I just want to be so clear about that. It's not one style in particular that does it a certain way. Anyone can do that.
Right.
And so if you advocate for yourself.
The saga of avoidant hate right here.
Yep. Please. If you take nothing else, take that.
Yes.
Right.
Let your avoidant run. They'll be back. Yes. Like that little bird quote, like set it free. Mm-hmm. If there's some love or something, it'll come back. I don't know.
Yes.
Like
that. And how are you going to show up differently too?
Yes.
Right. Like you want them to be different. How are you going to be different? And how are you going to work collaboratively in your relationship?
And the internal family systems are probably a lot of them. You know, you turn before you return. Everything has to rhyme. I guess we need little quips, little rhymers.
I know. Yeah. It helps us remember.
Yeah, I remember our, again, Tom and I's couples therapy where, you know, it was a stupid sort of, we were trying to, like, a wet towel on the bed, you know, like, it was more example. And it was like, I can't stand a wet towel on the bed, you know? And so it was something like, I have to kind of remind, and she was like, no, you don't. He knows. He knows you don't like it. So your answer is, he likes wet towels on the bed. Or he doesn't give a shit, you know? You're going to have to learn to tolerate. They know you've told them, right? So if it keeps happening, you may be getting your answer. They may not give a shit. So it was are you okay with that? Right.
Yeah.
And Tom's big phrase is, just because I'm doing it differently doesn't mean it's wrong or something. Like, I get this. There's a dynamic of often one of the partners, usually parentified, that was very controlling. Like, I do it better. And to let go of that control and watch, like, how somebody cooks, like, a fucking raccoon, like, shit everywhere. Just okay.
Not speaking from personal.
Yes, there is shit everywhere. I was like, Tom was out of town, and I'm like, oh my God. Well, one, I don't cook that much, but I'm like, it is so organized in here. You know, the cutting board's put away. I wash as I go, all the cut. And I was like, just let go. But I was going behind him, just like my mom, cleaning up everything. He's like, where is the fucking knife that I just had? I was like, oh, it's put away. He's like, get away from me. So anyways.
But I want to acknowledge.
Fun stuff.
Yes. That it is actually hard to live with someone. Like, it is actually hard. Like, I don't I don't think the takeaway should ever be like, you should figure out how to make this easy or whatever. Like, yeah, that could be the goal. But like, because I, you know, in our part one, I shared that, like, I really do want to meet someone and try for that reality. But I do have a part that's like, it is it is harder to live with someone sometimes. There's benefits.
Yes.
But the fact that you're two distinct individuals with different ideas of what quote unquote normal is, that's just hard for everybody. That's hard.
So rupture and repair, maybe, skills.
And self-regulation. And self-regulation. Can I take a deep breath and just, that towel's just there and just, you know, I don't know what that's bringing up for me, but
Yeah.
And how big of a deal is it? And how much do I want to?
Yeah. Right. It was like all of a sudden, remember Claudia being like, there was an episode with Allison's aunt who is so funny and just like she was working with people, but like people going on and on about the coffee cup that was left in the car that made a stain or something, you know, and just fucking screaming about that. And
they
I don't think we're talking about a coffee cup. Yeah, they don't love me.
And these are the conversations I have in couples therapy.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's like you did this thing and you know how much that bothers me and how could you possibly do this when you know, right? And the other person is like, oh my God, I completely forgot that I did that thing. And so
I'm
it's like, okay, right. How do we kind of meet here? Open up the lines of communication and recognize that like there is so much love and compassion and you know, it's just like
therapy. I'm like hard pass on that this lifetime.
It's challenging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good thing to see how many avoidance. There are probably not that many avoidant that grew up with avoidant attachment style or lean towards that as couples therapists.
As couples therapists?
That'd be, I would think avoidance wouldn't want to do that. I don't know.
I'm like already, I'm like, I can't think of any. So goddamn it.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You're holding a lot of energy. So I wonder about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Research part. Any beginning counseling students or getting your PhD, please research that and get back to us.
Yep. Yes. Certainly there are some. Yes. We know that has to be true. Yeah.
Yes.
It makes anything me think I did of...
go ahead,
Allison. Oh, just my decision to be a coach instead of a therapist. And because I'm a certified health coach. So my thing was like, I just want people to eat healthier and exercise and stuff like that. That was my, I just wanted to help people with that. And how it's not, well, initially when I got in it, I didn't understand that it was about emotions in the beginning. And it was just like, just change your behaviors. Change your mindset.
Just stop it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that came crashing down so hard that I had to check myself into a psychiatric hospital.
Way to go, Allison. See why we don't help, Elizabeth? We will go insane. We will absolutely.
I hear you.
I've never heard you connect it to like that's what got you into the psych hospital.
Feeling things, realizing that I could feel things. No, it was the realization that emotions exist. That is what happened. Okay. That is why I checked myself.
Yeah.
Realizing that there was an emotional world that could have been explained to me better as a child. I had created the story that I was telling you guys about to cope with my childhood that suddenly I realized was just a story. And that was like basically delusional, basically psychotic, like psychosis, and having that all shatter at once and seeing all of the psychosis in front of me and just like someone hit it with a hammer and it just, it was actually too much.
You are describing also for a lot of people who are more avoidant, the grief of the recognition of the ways in which they did not have emotional connection throughout their lives.
Yeah.
It can feel so incredibly overwhelming.
Totally.
To recognize like I've lived my life with, you know, like in a drought essentially of emotion and love and connection and joy and all kinds of other things. It can feel very overwhelming. So again, like here to support you.
Yes.
Love you. Yes. Right. You're not alone. Like all, you know what I'm saying? Like you are not alone and it is hard and you're doing such a beautiful job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I remember it was what my bones know.
Yes. I mean,
I've worked on this shit for so long. So just, I think of it too, in these sort of like, you're going to go through developmental patterns and stages and life stages, you know, like you're continuously growing and you deepen into another loss or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that book dropped me to my knees on, oh my God, it was as bad as I thought it was. I finally felt it. And that was a new level of work that needed to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was wild to like, it was like a being hit by a something, a brick.
Well, in the work,
the train that you were driving to the psych hospital.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, but it does feel so, and I just, we keep saying it, and I want for our listeners, it feels so hard to have something shattered. And so, you know, that first shattering was in 2016, and the next shattering for me was just a few years ago during the pandemic and listening to the Conspirituality podcast and watching all the cult shows and realizing that I was putting people on a guru pedestal.
Yeah.
And that there was nothing special about them ever, any of them. And they were never better than me. And they're still not better than me. And that was harming me to do that.
Yeah.
That also... the grief paralyzed me for like 2 years of like, wow, I was such an idiot.
Oh, they're those critics. Yeah. You're doing it wrong. All that kind of stuff. That's my new phrase. You're not doing it wrong. You guys, you're not doing it wrong. Just keep going.
That's right. Keep going.
It's keep going. Yeah.
And have good resources, right? Yes. Like don't listen to all the stuff out there that's telling you that like certain attachment styles are bad or like that's not the thing. If you start reading an article and it sounds that way, I really invite you to stop reading it and find something else.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Walk away.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you have any shattering moments? If we can dig in there, Elizabeth, any moments where something felt shattered?
Yes. I'm like, how many times have I been shattered? I mean, so many times.
You're like falling out of a building through glass floors or something. Yeah.
Like, really, truly, it does feel that way. I mean, I have a few that are like particularly hard. When I was 21, I had cancer. And so that was like a pretty big shattering moment, especially the recognition that I was, and now looking back on it, I see the ways in which my anxious attachment style in relationships was causing me so much stress.
Yeah.
That I think I was like living with a level of stress in my body that was not okay. On a daily basis.
Yeah.
Especially in that last year, like my last year of college leading up, I mean, I was, you know, dating all these people who were terrible for me in so many ways, and I had no self-awareness, and you know what I mean? Like there was a lot in there. And then, also in 2016, I had a shattering, of a relationship where I wanted to so desperately be a helper. I so desperately wanted to step in and like rescue somebody and be there for them. And it exploded so epically in every way that there was like no part of my life that went untouched. And I essentially like went into a cave for however many months, and I was just the level of shame that I experienced. And I felt like the worst person on the planet. Like, how could I ever think that I was a good therapist or like a good friend or a good person in the community? I mean, I went through, it was like a cocoon moment, like a total transformational time. And then I remember like poking my head out when I started to have conversations with people about it and be like, can I tell you how I'm so awful? And they're like, Elizabeth, you're not awful. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like, are you sure? I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I'm terrible. And they're like, you're really not, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I started doing, and it was like tiptoeing out. And every time I would have one of those conversations, it brought me more into the light again. And it ushered in this whole new phase of my life. And that's what's happened every time I've been shattered, you know?
Wow.
And so yes, it is, those moments they're horrible and they're also kind of amazing.
Were you already doing this work, or do you think this really helped you like really deepen and believe in?
Yes, it did. I was doing it, but on a level of like, this is a thing I do. And I came out of this and I was like, oh, wait a second. My life's mission is to understand relationships in a different way.
Yeah. That sends like good jing jing energy everywhere. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And it's so obvious. I mean, just being with you, talking with you, just your aliveness is like, you can have this too, people. Like, you can have Elizabeth energy.
You can.
Thank you.
Not if you're avoiding all
your shatterings. Look at all the shatterings and transform them into your purpose. I think that's God's plan.
You can. Yes, it is. It is. And you can. And all the things. And if you have questions. Right. No, don't seek a trauma. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Just be a basic asshole in the world.
Yes. They'll show up. Don't worry. They will show up. Yeah, they will be there.
It will. It will.
Yeah, but go and in your cocoon, but come out.
Yes.
Come out.
Resources.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Tools, strategies. Like, if I can help you in some way figure out how to get on this path that feels good for you, I am so here for it.
Yeah. Yes. Connect. We need to connect. Okay.
Yes.
Ooh. But you had asked Elizabeth if there was anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Just the parenting piece. It sounds like. Just do your work.
Yeah. I mean, I think the awareness of it.
If something's triggering you, it's probably you. Like if there's, because you're
100%
the parent and the kid is the kid and they're supposed to do all kinds of crazy shit. So
learn about what's developmentally appropriate.
That's
right. Yeah, have a good sense of what's developmentally appropriate, because if you were parentified, you're probably going to try to parentify your own children.
Yes.
Right. So like, check that out and be like, oh, it's totally normal at a year or two or three for them to not want to do X, Y, Z. It's not about them as a person. It's about them developmentally. And so I can I create space for that to allow them to just be children?
Personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we have to do a feelings wheel?
Yes, but I have a spin on it.
Okay. Okay.
And I know that I just can't keep telling you what to think now.
We just pick one feelings word and we all do the same word.
That's a new one. We can do anything in a part two. We get to try new stuff. Wow.
But you can ask.
And you can edit it out and be like, that was a fucking disaster.
Like, we can't. That's true. Yes. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This isn't live.
Who gets to go first?
I went last time. Can I go first?
You go first this time.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Okay. Are you guys ready? This is going to be the word. Okay.
Yeah. All right, everybody's moving.
Scared.
Get in the body. Oh, didn't we already have scared?
We can do it again. Last time. Okay. Did we do scared last time? I don't think so.
I was scared last time.
Scared you were?
Choose another one. We already did scared.
Do you want me to pick another one since you had that last time? What do you think, Elizabeth?
Yeah, choose a different one.
Okay.
Forget that.
Fuck it.
Oh, here's
scared enough.
Here's a word for me and Anne.
Oh,
dismissive.
What? Ooh. I cannot believe that is the word. Are you serious?
There's so many emotions or feelings. I'm like, is that a feeling? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dismissive.
Okay. So
dismissed or dismissive?
Dismissive.
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 Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to get one too.
When I feel it in my body, it feels like a shield on the front. Like I feel... It's like a wall or like a something right in front of me, like my face, my chest, my stomach. And I'm going to share a time when I was dismissive. Is that right?
Yep. I think so. Yeah.
Yep.
Ugh. And for me, this is like the opposite of like anything I would ever. Right. It doesn't come naturally to me.
Never
so
do that. Yes.
Oh, but I do. Okay. But I do because we all have all the attachment styles. Yeah. I would say that I'm probably a lot more dismissive in this phase of life with my partner than I would like to be.
Yeah.
Because we are in this like survival mode. I have a 4-year-old and then my baby will be 1 tomorrow. So we are just very much in this like phase of life where we're just, it's like tag teaming everything.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, just feeling into that, I sort of just like see this look on his face and me being like, oh, shit. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, I like skipped over what you were feeling or what you needed to try to rush to the next thing. Yeah. So I think that would be the most recent, experience of it. Doesn't feel good.
She'll be back. The kids are getting older.
That's right. Time is moving no matter what.
And even with young children, I imagine
Yes.
Some cool and awareness. Yeah.
I'm going to get off of this call and go repair with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I think it's you now, Anne, because I think I went
Me?
First last time.
Okay. Okay. So I think. Okay. Dismissive. It was so interesting, Elizabeth, when you said the shield. I was like, oh, she just went away. Like, I could really feel like you were. Yeah, that was so. We really can feel each other's energies. It's interesting because my recent dismissive, I think, is informing how I feel. And there's anxiety in here. Because what it is visiting my mom, who I was there on Sunday. And there's, even though I go with good intentions, it's complicated. She's on the edge of dementia. Ooh, wow, mm-hmm. It's moving all the way down to my belly. Slow it down. Yeah. So there is and I worked on this in energy work yesterday, because there is I'm at that phase of like, I don't think there's repair that can happen because her capacity isn't there. But to sit there for 2 hours and just look at the clock, like, when can I go? When can I go? It's just a whole dismissive experience, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I can hear shaky voice, and there is so much energy in here. And I also am aware, I think, because I did energy work or have worked on this a while, I can really sense into the self energy that's all around me, that this is just a really complicated thing, and yeah. I don't have to fix it or know exactly what's going on, but it is, there's lots of dismissive parts because there wasn't really a good relationship and we can't do it now. So boy, that's all in the torso. Yeah. And I really appreciate, Elizabeth, you just like me saying that, like, there's something about you, your courage and saying, I don't know what the piece was about the hard relationship. Like, it's a little shattering to like this, the way my mom and I are likely ending, you know, that's like, yeah. And okay, let me say it. Let me tell people. It's really messy.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Can we have scared back? I think I did scared.
I made a mistake saying that we should choose a different one.
I know.
No, I love hearing it. I probably would
talk about that too.
Not because of you. I just want to be really clear. It's not because of you. It's just like,
I know, anxious attachment. I didn't take it that way. I'm avoidant. I didn't register it.
Okay, good.
Oh, so funny. Okay.
So, okay. I forgot that we were going to talk about repair today. And very, very ironically, and this happens a lot in my life where there's like just these huge ironies, I'm sure for you guys too, but it just always happens where it's like, oh, wow, this contrasted with this at this moment. But I, right before we came on, I actually had fired off an apology and repair email to someone that I had, been aggressive with them on LinkedIn. I think I've talked about it before, had left a comment on their post that was a little, just wasn't a nice, kind energy. And I don't actually know this person in person. That's just someone that works in my field, but it just kept weighing on me that just wasn't the right move. And I just was like, I just have to send an apology letter. And it's, I think the opposite of dismissive is that caring, like, oh, I noticed how this could have made you feel and I care about it. And that feels light. It's like weight is taken off and it feels open and expansive. And dismissiveness, like, it doesn't matter what I did or they deserved it or, well, they'll get over it. That is closed. And dark.
Yeah.
And it's like closing in on me. And it's tight. Ooh. And it's constrictive and it's heavy.
Wow. I can feel all that. Yeah. That's like, yeah. You should be an actress. That was some Oscar winning stuff. I mean, not that you were acting, but I was like, that is like you were embodying.
Yes.
I was like, right. I was like closing up with you. I was open with you.
Oh, and feeling it, right? Yes. And because you were in alignment around I recognize the ways in which I hurt you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. Right? Yeah. Like owning that and taking accountability. Oh, yes. All of that.
Skillful. Yeah, that's in the 30% being. Do we just have to be 30% of a human? Is that, can we just be 30% Like, right?
In every way?
In everything. I only reach 30%. We do not have to be 100% humans. Okay, good. Elizabeth, I love it. Thank you for that. yes. Yeah. All right.
Gosh, thank you so
much. Elizabeth, I feel much. Just thank you for all this time and everything you've got going on. And yeah, it matters. Yeah. It matters to the people. To me, incredibly nourishing to be with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love these conversations with y'all. And I just, I'm so grateful that you invited me. And I love what you're doing out in the world. Please keep doing it.
I think we'll keep going. I appreciate you both so much. I'm just like, oh, fuck, we got to do the podcast again.
I know.
Yes.
I mean, true avoidance, like hanging in there is just like,
look at y'all though.
We call this our middle child.
Hanging in.
Our middle child.
Season 3 is our middle child.
Season 3 is our middle child. Yeah. So I guess we'll have like four to six seasons or seven.
We're planning on it. Yeah.
There's a
We just keep showing up though, even when it's hard. Look at us.
Even though it's hard.
Look at us.
That's it. It's the 30% thing. That's doing it.
That's right.
You're doing a great job.
Really, people, just hit 30% and then it'll feel so good. You'll want to run that extra 70 laps or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you both so much.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
All
right.
Bye.